God bless. Happy to be here today. As Brent would say, happy to be seen. Good to be seen. Happy to be seen. I'd like to say hello to Lynn, who's on the phone hookup today. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about some keys to energizing your believing. And Nick touched on one the last time he shared, which was a couple weeks ago, about believing, which is love, and we will get to love. That's one of the last ones. This is by no means a comprehensive list, the end-all, be-all to operating any of the manifestations or believing. It's up to us as sons and daughters of God to work God's word, to put on our little miner's hats and get our little picks and shovels and dig the word and work the word so that we can know that we know that we know. If you take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 19. And these things that I'm going to share with you today are not necessarily in order. Like, this is the first thing you got to do. This is the last thing you got to do. In fact, they're in no real order at all. As you work the word, you'll see that each of these situations where people operated the manifestation of believing, these pieces all come together or they're implicated. That means that you can derive, like having a good prayer life. Somebody has a good prayer life. They don't have to say they have a good prayer life. You know that they have a good prayer life based on the fact that in other areas it shows that they pray. So you got to keep that on point. You know, okay. So first I'm going to give you what a definition of the manifestation of believing is: an action or a power manifestation. That means you got to get actively involved. In order to operate the manifestation of believing, you cannot be fooled by the five senses. Nick's been on this little thing of late about the senses. It's not a little thing, it's a big thing. But he's been going on about the senses. Jimmy Guarini and I were talking a couple months ago, and I was reading this thing that he had given me, and I said I'd never realized that we should be in control of our senses. When we regained Holy Spirit, we should have regained the power to control our senses: seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. We should be in control of that, be it overeating, smoking, whatever it is. Don't let it have control over you, and don't let it fool you. It's like fear. It's a mirage. It's just something that the devil throws up as a smokescreen so you can't see the truth. You know, I'm going to go there. So I don't know if you watch CNN and all this other stuff on TV, Fox News, Channel 6 News, Action News. So there's been a lot of terrorist attacks. And this is like of no consequence. The devil is just constantly hammering. And things aren't any worse today than they were yesterday. There's always been slavery. I was watching this thing, Barbarians, on the History Channel. They took slaves from before they took slaves out of Africa. There was slavery. There's always been poverty. There's always been dearth. There's always been bad things. Why? Because the devil is in charge of this world right now. This is his place. We're here on a visa, as it were. Someday we're taking our visas, getting them stamped, and that's it. Okay, so if you're afraid, you should not be. Because if you read the word tells you that it's always been really, really rough. From the times of David to Adam and Eve, since Adam and Eve. Since before Adam and Eve, I'm sure, things are not good. The devil was booted out, and it's been rough and tumble ever since. And they keep propounding the idiocy of things And they don't really realize, the news media, how truly stupid they are and how stupid they think we are as human beings and people in the media. What's up, Dan? You know, think about it. So the other day, my wife watches the CNN sometimes, and she's got it on there, and this guy went off in Germany with a handgun, maybe two or three guys, I don't remember, I tell you, and he shoots people in a mall, in a shopping center. Okay? And you know what the big thing is now? They're going after kids. You know, kids have always been at risk, but they play on the falsity that a child is more important than anybody else. They're not. I'm not saying kids aren't important. God knows I have kids. I have grandkids. I love my granddaughter to smithereens. I'd chainsaw my arms and legs off if I had to for her and think nothing of it. In a minute, in a heartbeat, I'd give my life for that kid. But you know what? She's not any more important than anybody else. And we're going to see that when we get to these keys. And that's these things that can energize your believing. I shouldn't even say keys. They're just little signposts, little guideposts that can help you operate. And you can't be afraid. You can't be afraid to stand up and walk out on the word. If you're living in fear, you're living in the adversary's world, the devil's world. Don't worry about what he's doing. He's not doing nothing that he ain't done. I said this before, any other time in life. It continues on. Don't let that fear engulf you, encase you. Like I said, it's just a mirage. So, I said that. The manifestation of believing is your operation of the God-given ability, whereby you may believe to bring to pass the impossible at your command. Can you get your mind around that? I don't know if I can. Bringing past the impossible at your command. Mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And it's done. I think that's pretty great. We can do that. Jesus Christ in John 14, 12 said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the work should I do, shall he do also, and what? Greater. What? Greater. What? Greater. That's right, man. You should be psyched about doing the greater works of Jesus Christ than Jesus Christ. I'm not saying you got to be all hopped up and ready to go, but you should be excited about that. I am. What are some of those greater works? What about getting somebody born again? Man, what's the difference if you move a mountain and cast it into the sea or share the word with somebody and get them born again? You talk about bringing the impossible to pass at your command. I think getting somebody born again of Holy Spirit in the world that we live in today, not that it's any better or any worse, as I said before, is the impossible. I truly believe that it's a miracle that I'm standing here today. I'm not just saying that. Maybe it's a miracle for you too. But you know what? You got to think about that. You got to be constantly thinking about that. Don't worry about the world. Worry about the word. Well, not worry. But concentrate on the word. Don't concentrate on the world. Concentrate on the word. Okay. So, the impossible at your command, according to what God has revealed to you by the written word, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. It also inspires believing in others. And I put in there that the written word, the reason I moved that like to the beginning is because God expects you to know by your five senses what you can already know. And it's kind of an oxymoron because I'm telling you in one breath, don't pay attention by the senses. I'm telling you in the next breath, God expects you to know. But if it's written in his word, it is truth. And we should know that, and he expects us to know that. He expects us to know that healing is available. He expects us to know that he loves us. He expects us to know that we can get people born again. He expects us to know that we can move a mountain and cast it into the sea if that's what's necessary. So, let's go to Matthew 19. All right, so the first thing I want to share with you, something that energizes your believing, is your willingness to do the word. That's one of the first things. You have to be willing to do the word. Remember that believing is an action word. No matter what it takes, you have to be prepared to go all in. You have to be prepared to go all in. You ever watch poker? at poker, they have this poker tournaments and that. So what it means to go all in is you have a bunch of money, and so does everybody else. What you have is maybe, I don't know, $1 or $1 million, whatever you got that stack of money in front of you, whatever that's worth. You believe you're holding the best hand over all the other players. So you say, you know what? I'm going all in. And you take your stack of chips and you push them into the middle of the table. Whether it be $1 million, $1 billion, or a buck, it's all you got, and you push it all in. You have to be prepared to go all in all the time. All the time, man. I'm a little psyched today about this, so you have to forgive me. I don't mean to yell at you, but I'm excited about God's Word. I love God, and I love His Word. I've more often than not said that I'm just another person who loves God and His Word, and it's the truth. And God's people, I love you. God loves you. And you have to see the greatness. We have to see the greatness of who we are each and every day of our lives. So we have to be prepared to go all in. So Matthew 19, verse 26. Now, this is an interesting record because it's about a person. You know what? I'm going to go there. I wrote down the one verse. I typed out the one verse, but I want to read a little bit of the record. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Matthew 19, and let's start in okay, let's go to verse 17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? This is Jesus Christ. There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. That's what he says. You got to keep the commandments. Verse 18. He saith unto him, which? Now this is a guy who's talking to Jesus Christ. He said, okay, I want to keep the commandments. Which ones do I keep? Thou shalt do no murder. And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt cannot commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and my mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Yo, I do the commandments, dude. What am I lacking here? What's the case? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Push it all in. Listen, I get it that you're doing things and that you're keeping the commandments. But you know what? I'm asking you to go all in. Give up everything you have. Take everything you got. Give it up and follow me. That's what Jesus Christ said. You have to be prepared to go all in all the time. That's what it's going to take. What's so more important? $5, $10, $1 million, this house, my car, or God? We often say this is eternity is forever. This life is just a blink of an eye. How important is all the things that we own, all our material possessions? Not all that important. But when the young man, verse 22, heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Can you just see that today? Yo, dog, I get it, man. But no, I can't be giving up all that. My plastic, you know, my American Express I worked so hard for. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And yes, you maybe already know that it's an Orientalism of a camel going through the eye of a needle. It's not a needle that you sew with. It's a doorway. Yeah. All right. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God, how many things? All things. Word. All things are possible. And all things is like two words, and it's PA, P-A hyphen, or whatever that little thing is, J. It's pronounced POS. And it means individually, each thing, everything, anything, all things. The whole, everyone, all things, and everything. Every single thing is possible with God. Another kind of oxymoron. If operating the manifestation of believing is bringing the impossible to pass at your command, where is it impossible if all things are possible with God? It's right here in the noodle factory. That's where it's impossible, because with God, all things are possible. All things, no matter what it is. It's kind of irony. The other day, I have been having a lot of trouble with my arm. So I got this like carpal tunnel thing going on and this, all this nonsense. And I was telling Nick the other day, I said, yeah, this thing's like driving me nuts. Maybe it was like last week, I don't remember, wasn't the other day. Irregardless. So I look at that arm and I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command this pain to stop and get out of here and never come back. Hit the road, Jack, and don't come back. No. If it comes back, does it mean I'm not healed? No. It does not mean I am not healed. What it means is I still have the symptom. The cause is gone, but the symptom remains. So you just got to keep working on getting rid of that symptom, man, no matter what it is. It's if it's every minute of every day. Dolores has this ringing in her ears. We've been praying for it for forever. Eventually, it's going to go away. You have to believe that. Why? Because with God, all things, every single thing is possible. Okay, one of the next things you could do to energize your believing is walk with God and not be fooled by the five senses. Not be fooled by the things that we cannot perceive. And that's via the way you perceive things is via your senses. You can't be fooled like that. We must learn to take God at His word, whether it be written or revelation. Take God at His word, whether it be written or revelation. That's another thing to energize in your believing. Go to Genesis chapter 6, please. And this is Noah. And I think this is one of the greatest records in God's word for me for not being fooled by things that you cannot perceive. Because you're going to see, as you already probably know, God told Noah to build an ark. Yo, what's up with that? There was never a boat built before. It never even rained before. But he stepped out on that. I have no idea how Noah could perceive an ark or a boat or getting all them animals on or anything else for that matter that he did. That was a good man. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. How often? Continually. That's right. That's what it was. Where are we at today with what I was talking about in the beginning? Aren't we at the same spot? Exact same spot it was in the time of Noah. I'm not saying it is the time, just like that time. But I am saying, look at it. It was pretty bad back then. It's pretty bad now. But that's okay. Because if you're willing to stand up and stand for God and walk with God, it ain't going to matter. It ain't going to matter a lick. Verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace. Sound familiar? We got grace, don't we? We live in the grace administration. How great is that? This was one guy. We have a whole administration. Think about it. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. There you go. Another way to energize your believing, walking with God. Just walking and talking, as I said before. Just living with God every single day. Talk to God throughout your day. Enjoy God. God enjoys you. I sometimes think he looks at me and just, he laughs all the time. Like, dude, are you serious? But you know what? You got to love God. You got to love his word. All right. And where was I? Verse 10. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Jephthah. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy the earth. And here it is. Verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without pitch. Noah took God at his word. He wasn't fooled a lick by the things he couldn't perceive. Not a lick, man. That's how we have to be in our lives. Just because you see it doesn't mean it's true. It's true because God's word says it's true. And that's where you have to go each and every day of your lives. You're the greatest person walking on the face of the earth today. I don't care if your name's Chuck and Carviti or Jonathan Carter. It doesn't matter. We're all God's children, and we are all the light of the world. We all should walk with him and talk with him each and every day of our lives. Okay, next we're going to look at meekness. Meekness is a way to energize your believing, to operate the manifestation of believing. Meekness to God and his word. And if you remember, if you ever took the advanced class, in the advanced class, that's what it says about meekness. To receive revelation, you must first become meek. If you want to see the written word of God open up to you more, be meek to it. I'm not saying never question it. God likes questions. God, why did this happen? No. You say, why does it mean this? Why does it mean that? Why should we do this? Why should we do that? Why are we doing this? Where are we going? What are we doing? God doesn't mind questioning, but we don't question the accuracy of the word. I remember in Power for Abundant Living, the word fits like a hand in a glove, just like sticking it in. At the communion, I said, if the sin don't fit, you must acquit. There you go. Well, the word fits. And as a result of that, we are acquitted from all sin, pain, and suffering. We have to learn to live like that. So meekness, Judges chapter 13. And we're going to spend a few minutes here in Judges. This is one of my most favorite guys. It's Samson. And he's one of my favorite guys because he kind of reminds me a little bit of myself. Not that I drink all the time and go out and have a raucous life, but he kind of reminds me a little bit of myself in that he stood for God, he walked away from God, and he went back to God. And he loved God, and he loved God's people. And that's where we have to be, as I said. We have to endeavor to do the things of God and be meek to God so that we can operate the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Judges 13, verse 24. You know, I was talking to Dolores yesterday, and we were talking about this, and we were talking about the Word, and I started crying, thinking about all the things that I hadn't done in my life. And that I really wanted to do. And then I stopped and thought, but who's stopping me from doing them now? Nobody. Who's stopping you from living the word and doing what you want to do? Only you. God's ready. God has his hand out. He's ready to take you by the hand and move forward with the greatness of his word. All right, Judges 13:24. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. We have been called the sons of God. We are growing continually in God's word and God is blessing us. Samson had to be meek to God and heed his revelation, or God would have never been able to move in him. That's what we see in that verse. We have to be meek to God's word so that we can move in God's word, operating manifestations, believing that we can do the things that we can do, and then move out on them. I was pretty blessed. One of my most favorite songs is Believing's the Key to Heaven in the songbook. And it says, Believing's the Key to Heaven. Believing's the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. Did you ever think about that? That's right. Believing is the key to heaven, that natural man believing that Nick was talking about. That's how you get it. But faith unlocks the door. Having the faith of Jesus Christ is what unlocks that door and enables you to get in. You get that when you get born again. You get that measure of faith. That's really great. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think much when I sing. I just like the songs and like the words and kind of like being blessed by singing. But there's power in that, in singing those kind of songs and thinking those kind of things. You have to go there. You have to realize that. All right, so Samson had to be meek. I said that. And he's the revelation of God wouldn't have been able to work within him and move within him. And it's important to note that. We need to be meek. We need to do the word of God and be willing to do what God wants us to do. And as I said before, as you read the word of God, you will see these elements or the implication of these elements in all records of the manifestation of believing. Look at every record in Hebrews and see where they say all these people, and you'll see they have all these things in common. Abraham with the sacrifice, get out of Dodge. Are you kidding me? He thought he had to sacrifice his kid, but he was willing to do it. He was meek to God's word. He was willing to stand on God's word. He was willing to go all in and give up whatever it was. You can go on and on and on. Read them. Okay. So I said about the records. All right. Next thing you can use to energize your believing, action precedes results. You can't be a bench player and operate the manifestation of believing. Why? You have to be in the game in order to do it. See yourself in the game. When we get to love, you'll see. I think the record I used was the man at the temple gate. That's one I used. Anyway, it was the one I used. It's the man at the temple gate. Stretch forth thy hand. Them guys were walking along. They were probably praying, which you see. Prayer builds believing, see? And then they're walking, they're talking. Here's a guy. They see him. They love him. They reach out to him. Yo, get up, man. You got to get in the game. You got to see yourself in the game. You got to want to be in the game. What's that? Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. Look at me. I can be center field. I can be center field. An important part of the game. You got to want to be there. You got to want to do it. Why do we do it? Because we love God and we love his word and we love his people. Anybody ever come up to you and ask you to pray for him and you said, I don't think so? No. Why? Because you love them. You care about them. They're a child of God too. They're your brother. They're your sister. Reach out. Okay. Where was I? Okay. So action precedes results. Judges 14. And the reason I use this about Samson is because all these little things, a bunch of these little things, are right there in some condensed verses. You don't have to go real far to find them. All right. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman, this is 14:1, in Timnath, a daughter of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. It's action. You gotta take action. He went down there. He got up. He just didn't sit around. He got up. He went down to Timnath. He saw this girl. God said, yo, this can be used to our benefit. Let's get her to wife. Samson goes back, tells his mom and his dad. He took action. We have to take action. Like I said before, if you're going to be a bench player, you're not going to be doing these things. You got to be willing to get in it. Get in it. And not just shadow boxing. There's nobody there. You got to be willing to engage, and we're going to see that too. Another thing, a willingness to stand alone. You got to be willing to stand alone, no matter what anybody thinks. Not enemies, not friends, not family, or the religious hierarchy. Sometimes people think, oh, Jesus Christ just bucked the establishment. You're darn right. I had to say, oh, damn Skippy I'm with. That's right. That's right. He did buck it. And we should buck it too. If it's not right, if it's contrary to the word, we move out on God's word. No matter what anybody thinks. And standing out alone can be hard sometimes. But you know what? It's only hard because it's in our minds. God is always with us. You hear it in manifestations all the time. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always there for you. I love you. I'm looking out for you. How much more do we need to hear? It's in His Word. 24/7, never looking for a rain check. Never. He's always telling us that. We need to believe it and be willing to stand alone and not worry about what anybody thinks. Look at verse 3. Then, this is Samson, his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people? Like, yo. Isn't there somebody here, like, in a fellowship you want to marry? Like, dude, really? You got to get down there? That thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines. And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Samson didn't pay attention to what his dad was saying. And you're going to see in the next verse, I think it is, or verse after, that they had dominion. The Philistines had dominion over Israel. Samson didn't care. He said, you know what? This is none of your business. Don't worry about it. I know what I'm doing. Get out there. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. His parents were worried. His parents were scared. His parents had a mirage of fear in front of them. Look, if you tick these guys off and get down there and try and marry this girl, things are bad enough as it is, dude. Give us a break over here. No. I'm not giving you a break. This is what God wants. This is what we're going to do. And that's where we have to be in life. Willing to stand alone and stand up against anyone or anything. Noah stood against the then known world. How about that? How much bigger than you get? The then known world. This was just the Philistines. It's big, man. You got to be willing to stand up. All right, let's get on to another one. We have to look to get actively involved, as it says here, and seek an occasion. That's what we constantly need to do, is seek an occasion. Everywhere you see the manifestation of believing, someone has sought an occasion for some reason. And it's usually against the devil, because the devil is evil. You got to be willing to do that. And as I said before, you can't be a bench player. You can't be afraid. If you're afraid, it's not going to happen. You need to load up your spiritual gun and get out there and start opening fire on the adversary and his cohorts, his little stinking minions, because there's a bunch of them. You know, it reminds me years, I don't even know how many years ago, one of my favorite teaching ever was Dr. Werwolf taught a man on a tower, devil possession. If you think some guy just wakes up in the morning and he's ticked off and he gets a rifle and he goes out and kills somebody, you're dead wrong. How about that? It's spiritual, man. That thing jumps inside and that causes chaos. That's what causes murder. The devil and his minions. That's what causes it. They work on people and then they take action on that. God works on us. We have to take action to fight that. And then one man awake awakens another. And then they wake up what? A whole another, an old city and many people as you want to awake. You got to see that, man. You just got to see it. You got to get involved. Verse 5. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, in verse 6. And he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother. He didn't tell anybody what he did. He just did it. Samson knew what he was doing when he asked his parents to get the daughter of the enemy for his wife. Which leads me to tell you that you can never make an excuse or apologize for doing the word of God. There is no reason for excuse. There's no reason for apology. And people don't have to know, doggone it. Because God said it, that what? Settles it. That's what settles it. Because God said it, not because anybody else did. It doesn't really matter a hoot what anybody else thinks. It matters what God thinks, and it matters that you're doing what God's word says. There we have it. Okay. Never apologize for the word. Never apologize for getting involved. The devil wants to try and trick you. You know, last night, I was ripping up cardboard boxes, throwing them in this recycle container. And so this lady's walking down the street, and she's on her phone, and she's talking. I'm thinking, like, ew, here we go. So she looks up the driveway, and she says to me, excuse me, have you seen a little boy running out here in his underwear? I thought, oh, man. Okay, so, and I was just, like, speaking in tongues, ripping up these boxes. I said, no, I didn't. I said, but to tell you the truth, I wasn't looking for anybody in their underwear running around. I was ripping up these boxes. And she said, well, my son, I said, is he a little guy? You know, or a big guy? Or what is it? She says, no, he's about as big as me. And she was about this big, about 5 foot or so. She says, he's really not that young either. He's like 13. But he has autism. So I said, oh, okay. I said, what do you want me to do? She said, well, if you see him, hold on to him. She goes, he might be a little rough, but I'd appreciate if you hold on to my own. I'm getting away. And I'm thinking, like, are you really serious? Like, if this kid starts fighting with me, you know, but I'm not going there. I say, okay. So she's walking down the street. I say, you know, I'm going to pray about this for you. I said, you're going to find that kid. You'll be all right. And so she came back up. They didn't find him. And they walked back up. And when they walked back up, I said, how'd you make out? She said, oh, we didn't find him yet. I said, listen, maybe he went up to the Wawa up the other end of the street, and he's up there, like, hanging out. And maybe he just, yeah, God bless him, I don't know. I said, you know, she goes, well, you know, the thing that happened was he walked into his brother's bedroom, and the window was open, and he pushed the screen out and climbed out the window. And we don't know where he went. So I said, you'll find them. Don't worry about it. I said, like I said, I'll pray. You'll find them. And then I went inside and I said, and she walked on and I went inside and I said to Dolores, I said, yo, I want to pray for this girl. Her child's missing, blah, 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 blah. So she said, okay. And so we started praying and we finished praying and I went back outside and then as we did that, I saw the police lights up the street and went up there to see what was going on, you know, and because Dolores had said, you know, maybe you should have offered to look for the kid. You know, maybe that'd be great. And I said, okay. And when I went up there, here they had found him already just that fast. And he'd been gone probably about 20 minutes or a half hour. That'd be unnerving as heck for the parents, I got to say. But anyway, I said to the lady, I said, everything all right? Yeah, we're good, you know, blah, 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 blah. I said, yeah. I said, the effectual fervor and prayer of a righteous man avails much. I said, there you go. And she said, well, thanks. I appreciate it. And she walked back. And as I started driving home, I thought, that's right. We spoke the word. We offered to pray for that lady. We did it. And the kid was found. And there's no apology necessary for me saying, I'm praying for you. It doesn't matter. Get involved. Get involved wherever you are. I got a thing for the neighborhood watch the other day. I said, Dolores, don't throw that out. I think we might get involved in that. I'm just a neighborhood watch. Another venue. You know that your sphere of influence shrinks years after years after years after years. And what I mean by a sphere of influence is people that you can affect and people that you can have things do. You constantly have to be looking to increase your sphere of influence. Get involved in something where you don't know anyone so that you can talk to someone, wherever it is, whoever it is. Get involved. Donate an hour of your life, once a week, once a month. Do something. Increase that sphere of influence so that you can speak to people and help people, whether they want it or not. Just go out there and talk to them. Just go out there and love them. That lady couldn't have been more ecstatic that I prayed for her kid and her kid was found. Would they have found that child if we didn't pray? I don't know. I don't want to say I'd like to think not, but praise God that they did. Praise God that they did. They found him and he was fine. Which brings me to another thing, which is love. And this Nick already touched on about love. And another way of you can energize your believing is you have to love. Your love for God, your love for his people. Because love never fails. Look at Acts chapter 3, please. And we're going to see just one example, and you can pick out a million examples in God's word as to love. There's plenty of love to go around when it comes to God. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 1, and as I said, this is not a comprehensive list. It's not the end-all, be-all. But you can look into it and get more things out of it and be blessed. And anything that helps you to do the word, that's what we're in favor of. So Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. He just said, look at us, man. Look up at us. He probably had his head down. This guy was there every day. I'm sure you know the story. It was rough on this guy. He's probably thinking, man, when is somebody come along to help me? When's that going to happen? Right here. You could be the next Peter and John walking in front of somebody. Don't be afraid to get involved, to reach out your hand, to help them. Look up at me. Look at me. I'm a child of God. That has to be what we believe. That has to be what we work out. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and what? Praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. I'm walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So I said, come walk. I'm a toony little guy today. That's what happens when you operate manifestations. People get their believing built. You think this guy, you think them people that saw that, you think their believing wasn't built a little bit? I think so. When you operate the manifestation of believing, it will build believing in others. And it's like a more, what is that, a stone running down a hill. It just keeps, like a snowball. You take a snowball and you put it at the top of a hill or a field filled with snow. And then when you push it down, if you ever made a snowman, you'd notice. And as it starts rolling, the ball gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's like gigundous, humongous. That's right. And that's what happens when you operate the manifestation of believing. It's contagious. It builds believing in others. It starts as one little thing, like of the grain of mustard seed. That believing grows. Well, when you operate the manifestation of believing, that helps others believe, and that grows so that it's a giant snowball. And when it gets to the bottom of the hill, it's just humongous and able to crush a house or any other thing that gets in its way. That's what we do when we operate the Word of God in our lives. So, I think those people that were there and saw that, I think they believed. And I think they were inspired to believe bigger and to go out and do those things. We should want to do the things that Jesus Christ did and greater things. Not because we aspire to be better than Jesus Christ or that we aspire to be greater than God, but that we aspire to be a child of God like our brother Jesus Christ. That's where we are going. That's what we're doing. We should be moving each day closer and closer to being more Christ-like. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 13, please. Acts Romans Corinthians 13. This is the chapter on love. And I want to read it. And the reason I want to read it is because if you read it, although operation of manifestations is one of the greatest things you can do, it's proof in the census world that you have God and Christ in you. It's many things. The greatest thing is love, because it tells you in the end that at the end of the day, that's what's going to be left is love. God loves us so very, very much. We need to do the same to Him. We need to put aside, what is that? Lay aside every weight. Lay aside all those things. Actively get involved in people's lives. Actively move out on the Word of God. And you'll see great things come to happen. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Jesus Christ was the greatest lover to ever walk the face of the earth. We should endeavor to be the same. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, is kind, envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Such great attributes for us to emulate. Doth not behave itself seemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Bear all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I find that amazing. Where there knowledge piled high in deeper lives, PhDs, all the knowledge in the world can't save you. Only God. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is what?
Charity.
Charity, the love of God. And extending that love to each and every person. That's what it's really going to take. There are just a few things that you can do to energize your believing and operate the manifestation of believing. Love is the biggest deal. So what have we seen here today? Number one, but not necessarily in this order, we have to have a willingness to do the Word of God. Remember, believing is an action. No matter what it takes, you have to be prepared to go all in. Like I use the poker analogy. Walk with God. We cannot be fooled by the things that we cannot perceive or understand by the senses. We must take God at His word, be it written or revelation. Meekness to God and His word. We have to be meek. In order to receive revelation, you must first become meek. Action precedes results. You can't be a bench warmer. You got to get in the game. It's very, very important. People are reticent to get involved. You know, I would be lying if I didn't tell you, when that lady walked up, I thought, do I want to get involved here? You know, I got this kid. Now, am I going to be like a child molester or something? What are people going to think? You can't think like that. You can't be reticent to get involved. You got to get involved. You have to be willing to stand alone no matter what anyone thinks. Enemies, friends, family, religious hierarchy, no matter who they are, no matter what they are, no matter what they say, you have to be willing to stand on God and His word. And remember, you and God make a what?
Majority.
Why worry about it? Number six, look to get actively involved. Seek an occasion. Go out there and do God's word. Look for areas where you can get involved. And then love. The love of God, the love of God's people, love never fails. As children, we need to rise up and live the Christ-like life and boldly proclaim that God is our Father and that we are His children. And so I wanted to close in Luke 4, chapter 4. And you can go there if you want. And if you don't, that's okay too. I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to put yourself in there. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, this is Jesus Christ, and He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." I want you to put yourself there and say, "The Spirit of the Lord is within me, because He hath appointed me, Chuck and Carviti, or whoever your name is, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent you, or me, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recover sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." It is up to each and every one of us to put our names in there and preach the acceptable year of the Lord, because this is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is our life. This is your word of God. God is your Father. We are His children. We need to believe it and move out on it each and every day of our lives. So Almighty God, I sure am thankful for the greatness of this day. Thank You for Your word, which You have magnified above all Your name. Thank You that we can see ourselves as Jesus Christ right here, right now, each and every day of our lives. And that no matter what You ask us to do, we can do it without hesitation. Just move out on Your word, put one foot in front of the other, love as Jesus Christ loved, pray as Jesus Christ prayed, speak as Jesus Christ spoke, and do the things and greater than Jesus Christ did. Thank you that you're always there for us, that you love us and protect us and watch over us all the days of our lives. And right now, I thank you for each and every person here and all the people who couldn't be here. I rebuke the hand of the devil in the name of Jesus Christ from these people's lives. I thank you for uncovering their eyes, for taking away the shroud of darkness that the adversary attempts to put in front of them each and every day of their life. Thank you, God, that Jesus Christ came to liberate us and that we can be free and liberated and walk like the sons and daughters that you've called us to be. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. That was an excellent truth that he shared about. Don't get sidetracked by the devil and the devil's catechism that he presents to us through the media of the world. He went back to Genesis and he showed way back then things were just, so it's always been that way. But don't get negative about that and don't get drawn into that. Jesus Christ, and later on in the Gospel of Matthew, where he was sharing earlier, talks about famine and man fighting men and wars and rumors of wars, and he gives all these bad things that are going to happen. But you know what he says? When you see these things, look up, because your redemption draw nigh. Don't look down at these things. Don't look at the problems. Don't look at the famines. Don't look at all the death and destruction. He says, look up. Get your eyes up off of that. Get your eyes up onto Jesus. He said, because your redemption draweth nigh.
Sweet.
It's excellent. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay.